What is up, CSGs? In this video, I talk about Alperen Şengün's injury and its implications for the Rockets. Where do we go from here? Tap in right now. Enjoy. The Rockets Chop Shop is your one-stop shop for all your basketball needs, for highlights, analysis, podcasts. We do it all here at The Rockets Chop Shop. Make sure you hit the like button on the videos that you watch if you enjoy them. Hit the subscribe button to get notifications from all the great drops that we have on the channel. Also, you can visit the Chop Shop merch store and get you some of the swaggiest gear in the Houston Rockets kingdom. And if you want, you know, you can always support the channel directly through donations. And if you want, you can support us through our partnerships with our sponsors. The Rockets Chop Shop is made by fans for fans, and we're gonna keep rocking and keep dropping that heat.
From me, this is something I know.
So I'm watching the game yesterday as we're sealing up the victory versus the Sacramento Kings. And as the quarter was winding down, the fourth quarter, you just celebrating the win in my head, like, okay, we got a chance to make the play-in. There's a little crack in the window for us to make it. And then all of a sudden you see Fred get a turnover. Alperen Şengün chases Sabonis down the other end, jumps up, bang, bang, bang. Next thing you know, he's on the floor holding his knee and his ankle, saying that his ankle is effed up, bro, close quote, end quote. And it's a familiar feeling for Rockets fans. It seems like we can never have anything nice. Doesn't it seem like that, bro? Doesn't it seem like the Rockets are just bad luck, man? Like, it's always something with players that we just have a lot of hope and faith in, and for them to turn out to be something. They're not saying, maybe Şengün is, I don't think they've released the actual extent of the injury. I know yesterday they said they were doing x-rays, and usually when you do x-rays, you're checking for any fractures or any visible dislocations, fractures, breaks in the bone structure, and then the MRI is going to be the one that determines whether there's any ligaments, soft tissue, any other type of damage that is done, those structural damages that you do not want to see. Now, I did see a lot of social media doctors diagnosing him. I'm going to wait for the MRI, right? I'm going to wait for the MRI. I'm trying to be optimistic, but just from me looking at it, the way his leg kind of swung when he fell, it didn't look good, bro. Like, he really had no control. It almost got pinned under him. So I'm trying to be optimistic about it, but it didn't really look good. But I feel so bad for the kid. You got a young man that's making his way in the NBA, making a name for himself, through the league, having a breakout season on a team that's, you know, on the cusp of becoming a near contender, a bubble contender. And then for him to go down, it's really, really crazy. You think about, he's going to be going into a contract year next year where he likely is not going to play the full season, depending on what it is. Now, they could say he just hyperextended, sprained his ankle. He'll be back, by midsummer. Then, yeah, it's a different ball game. But, you know, the range of outcomes for these type of injuries is so varied. And then you assume, you know, he has to ramp up setbacks, et cetera, et cetera. So this is going to mess with his money. Obviously, the confidence. You're a guy that you want to go into this summer to add more to your bag. Having to now focus on healing and rehabbing really does delay some of that developmental training that we would have liked for him to see. And then for him, just to me as a former athlete, I actually had an injury that sidelined my career in college. I had a dislocated bone in my foot. And, once you are not playing ball, whatever your sport is, it is really hard, bro. I know you guys have heard this about athletes being depressed. It is. That is a real thing. You know what I mean? Because when you're an athlete at whatever level, especially if you go past high school, you're playing in college or professionals, that is your identity, right? People back home, wherever you're from, they know you because you're blah, blah, blah player. You're a basketball player, a football player. You're a tennis player. That becomes you. You are synonymous with that sport that you play. And whenever that's in danger or that is taken away from you for a significant amount of time, it does really mess with your psyche because you kind of have a identity crisis at that time. That's why when you see guys like Tari Eason, Şengün, these young guys go down, especially for the younger, even for the older guys, injuries are just killer to athletes. And it can really be a psychological injury that is compounded with actual physical injury. But I feel bad for Sengun, man. I feel bad because for the Rockets, I mean, the implications for him being hurt as well. You think about where we are in this rebuild. His presence as a future star on our team really, really took a lot of heat off of a lot of the other players. You think about Jalen Green's role as the highest drafted player throughout this rebuild, the number two pick, and Jabari as the second highest and the number three pick. Basically, Sengun being elite allowed them the chance to develop under the radar without the expectations of people within and with outside of the Rockets fan base holding them to any significant expectations, right? But that's going to change now, right? Because if he's out for an extended amount of time, there's going to be a lot of focus on Jalen Green to be able to live up to that hype, right? He gets the same scrutiny that other young guys on teams that don't have a better player that's in the same class as you get, right? Now they're going to look at him to be the guy to step up. So to me, like the covering of having a player like Sengun really allows Jalen to develop and struggle in a season like this without the extra scrutiny. Like you can have that feeling. Sengun was a buffer for Jalen Green, right? If Jalen never worked out, at least you have Alperen Sengun. And he also was a buffer for multiple players because him being as good as he is allows you to pair him up with vets and you can still have the best of both worlds of trying to win games, playing significant minutes on the court against good teams while at the same time allowing your young guys to learn on the fly. So I think that's one key part that you have to look at. Also, you have to look at the fact the dude was our offense. You know, I mean, we heard James Harden say that he was the system. In Houston, Sengun is the system, right? Everything we do elite or at an efficient level comes through him. Even though reluctantly, sometimes they don't play through him. When they don't play through him, the offense is ugly. When they do play through him, we have not an elite offense right now because we don't have elite offensive players all around, but we have a middle of the pack, a slightly below average offense that is able to get by given the circumstances of the roster we have. So having a average to below average offense with this roster with Sengun on the court is significant. And we were able to see that on a game-to-game basis. So losing him impacts that. You also think about the winning situation for the Rockets with trying to make the play-in. That becomes in jeopardy. Not saying all is lost, but that is your best player. One of the key things about having a player that garners the gravity and attention he does is that it allows some of your other players to be able to function in their roles without having to deal with the full wrath of the defenses. And that's what we're going to lose here. And what you're going to be looking at and curious to see is how guys like Fred and Jalen and Jabari and Dylan, how everybody adjusts to this, right? You notice a lot of the times where we are playing the non-Sengun minutes. Coach Udoka likes to run with a man, get out there with Jalen and Cam Whitmore to run a more fast-paced, high-tempo game that doesn't allow the opposing defenses to get set. And that's really how we try to like use that aspect of our team to make up those minutes. And it works. It works sometimes, and sometimes it looks ugly. But to me, then you're going to have to rely on that style of play for an extended period of time, which is kind of scary for our team because so far post All-Star break, the Rockets are shooting worse than they were pre All-Star break. Even with being top five in pace, we've increased the pace, but that hasn't really cashed in to become actual efficient offense. We've actually regressed offensively in this post All-Star game. The defense with Sengun on the court, obviously he is, not the best defender in the world, if you're talking about all around, but with his strength and body type, he allows you to be able to guard a lot of different type of bodies in the league, right? We saw him as he goes against guys like Anthony Davis. You saw what he did with Wemby, especially guys that are more taller, not as the big brutes in the NBA, but the taller bigs, you can use his leverage to guard them. Now you're relying on Jock Landale, Jeff Green, Jabari Smith Jr. To be that five rotation. That's a tough ask for any team to have that three. Jock, Jeff, and Jabari is your center rotation. So that's a huge loss there. But just all around, just from a fan's perspective, watching him play, the excitement, the flair, the showmanship, the brightness of his that he was flashing, the future that he was going to show, you're going to miss that for this, I'm assuming, for the rest of the season, for sure. Now, once again, I don't know when what the extent of the injury is, but you just hope that it's nothing that is structural that is going to impact his actual, like the structure of his legs, right? Because for a big man, that really gets scary, right? It gets scary because of, you're never the same afterwards, unless you're Adrian Peterson. If you guys know AP and his ACL tear, he came back a better player afterwards, but he's a mutant, right? We're not going to count AP. Assuming AP is human, like the rest of us, those structural damages really take away from just that pre-damage explosion. And for him, even though his game isn't based on explosion, that explosiveness he has with his jumping, leaping ability on defense is what kind of separated him from Sabonis and the Jokic comparisons on that end of the court. Also, just the explosiveness on his pivots and post moves. So you hope that it's nothing that's going to impact that. But the technology and medical technology nowadays is so good that, even though if it is something structural, he can come back from it. But just all around a tough loss for the team. Where do the Rockets go from here on a basketball sense? That's the question I'm going to try to answer. So from a basketball perspective, when the Rockets have AP on the court, let's see, we are in 4,000 possessions, a plus 1.3. The offense is humming at a 115 points per possession, which is slightly below average. Defense 113, which is slightly above average. So with AP on the court, we are a plus 1.3, which is a playoff team. Like, you're a play-in playoff team when he shares a court with his teammates. When he's off the court, we're a plus 0.3, so a net neutral zero, which is about a 500 team. The thing that you look at there, our offense plummets, right? We go down to 110 points per possession. The defense does get better at 110 points per possession. And so the defense is above average. The offense is way below average. We're in the seventh percentile. We're like one of the worst offenses when he's not on the court. So this is, you're a flat zero there. This is what you're going to have to deal with in an offensive league. We were already struggling winning games with our offense right now. Having it become worse is not going to be good for us. But I mean, there are things that the Rockets could do to really improve. Now, the question is going to be for the starters, like, who do you put in there to garner the most out of your team? Right. If I'm looking on cleaning the glass right now, you look at some of the lineups that we have without Şengün on the court. The best lineup that we have in any significant amount, and it's only 1,900 possessions without him on the court, they all feature Tari Eason. So that's a double whammy there. So when he isn't on the court, the best lineups that are positives are Tari Eason lineups. But you look at the most frequent one, which is Aaron Holiday, Amen, Cam, Jeff Green and Jabari, it's a minus 12. Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, has a lineup there with Jalen Green, Jeff Green, and Jabari, which maybe one is a minus 14, only 57 possessions. You do have a positive in 54 possessions with Fred VanVleet and Aaron Holiday. Look, that one has Tari Eason as well. So there's really not a lot of positive lineups. Let me see. There's a Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, Jeff Green, Jabari. That's a plus 4.3 and 47 possessions. That one doesn't have Fred. So it's really, I'm going to be fascinated to see who comes in. Now, for me, ideally, to replace Alperen Şengün, I think you probably do have to go Jock Landale. I like how he's been playing. Right now, you need a screener. And I think you need a big man, especially for Fred and for Jalen, because Fred is not a guard that could break you off, on the dribble. He's not a self-creator like that, where he can create his own space. And so he needs a screen partner to run two-man game with. I think Jock and him can develop some chemistry. If he can just be, a little bit just better than he's been, then you may be able to sneak by with him on there. Also for Jalen, I think having that screener is also important. Same thing with Fred. Even though Jalen can create a little more space, he's heavily reliant on pick and rolls and DHOs right now in his career. So I don't want Jalen isolating all game. We see what that looks like when the team tries to go iso ball. It's really ugly offense. We do not want that. Jabari's game shouldn't really be impacted that much as far as his own like shot diet, because a lot of his were on kickouts. Now, I'm curious to see, is he going to get as many kickouts? Are any of the players going to get as many kickouts? You do want guys to step up, though. And this is where you want guys to step up. So what does everybody do well is the question you want to ask. What does Fred VanVleet do well? I say bring Jock in there as a starter. Fred can come off the screens and get into his mid-range back, shoot those threes. What does Jock do well? Jock, right now, I'm trying to figure out. So far, he plays hard, and that's all you really expect from Jock. You know, Dylan Brooks, I was saying during the game, we kind of went away from Dylan in the post. That was one of our more efficient sets. We have to get him more reps in the post. So you got to divvy up Şengün's usage amongst the players, and they cannot all go to Jalen Green because we're going to lose games like that, right? So you want to divvy it up. I'm going to give Fred a couple more possessions, tell him to be more aggressive, coming off those screens and looking to score. I'm going to tell Dylan, get in the post, try to run sets to get him isolated in post so we can garner double teams as he punishes smaller guards. I'm going to get Jabari back in the post, get him some post-ups, allow him to work from that elbow area. Maybe you can manufacture some double teams if you start beating teams like that as well. For Jalen, off screens, I'm using him, you know, coming off pick and roll with multiple players. Get Jeff out there with the pick and rolls for him. Get Londale out there with pick and rolls. Do some guard-on-guard action with him and Fred and see if they could read off of each other and make plays like that. And Jalen just has to step up. I think this ultimately what it comes down to for this team is for Jalen Green to answer the call. This is a golden opportunity for Jalen to step into the role of being the guy that the Rockets need him to be, right? This is him being thrust into the light. Personally, I don't think he's ready, right? This is not, I think the path he was on was, I liked the direction he was trending in. What you want to see here, though, can you scale it up just a little bit? He doesn't have to do too much, but he needs to step up. Be more aggressive, take smarter shots, be efficient. And this is where the efficiency is going to matter, or we're going to be in a world of trouble. So for Jalen, this is it, bro. This is it, right? This is it. You gotta show the world that, hey, I'm that guy. I'm the number two pick. You know, Şengün being as great as he was, even though that allowed him to be able to have these up and down games, now the call is on. And I'm hoping he responds to that call because they're going to need him to. They're going to need him to. Jabari, you got to step up, bro. You got to step up. Guys got to step up. Men Thompson, Cam Whitmore are going to have to play bigger roles on the team. I expect the men to get way more minutes. Cam needs to be more aggressive, get way more minutes. I think a man can also be somebody you slide in to the starting lineup in certain matchups to be able to play that four to Jabari's five, because he offers rim protection. He offers the playmaking that you may lack. That's the concern when you don't have Şengün on those starting five is you lose a lot of playmaking. You think about our starting five. There's not a positive playmaker on there besides IP and Fred. And Fred is limited in his playmaking. So he doesn't hit every pass in the book. Alpi can hit every pass, and that's where you get worried. So maybe a men instead of Londale, I don't know. I'm kind of torn about that. But they just got to get creative and lean on that defense. Just try to be a gritty team. Now, I think we're about 4.5 games behind. I don't know if it's the Warriors, the Lakers, for the 10th seed in the West. I think they should go full tilt for the play-in. It's right there. Every game going forward is a playoff game. You know what I mean? Team, pray for LP, but they got to keep pushing, bro. And that's the culture in sports. When your brother goes down, you don't just hang your head and cry and sulk. Guys got to step in. Next man up. So who is it going to be for the Rockets? That's what I'm curious to see. Who's going to step up? Who's going to step up? Who's going to step up? That's what I'm hoping to see from these guys. And just from a big picture view for the Rockets and just looking at it from like the front office perspective, and this rebuild. If I'm hoping and I'm praying that it's not the case that Alpi is out for like multiple seasons or he's out for into next year, because it kind of asks questions. What do you do this summer, right? Does it impact? Do you go ahead and draft the player, right? Is that something that makes you have to go draft another player to be insurance if in case Alperen Şengün doesn't come back the same or he's out for an extended period? Or does it rush you trying to get a good player? Because I know the Rockets want to make the playoffs next year, and Şengün is a huge part of that push that they're going to have. Those are interesting questions to see. You also think about us suffering through these 3 years of this rebuild to come out having a player of that Alpi's caliber is really the hardest thing to do. And for it to see it taken away, it is very unfortunate. But let's not act like the dude got shot. Okay. So hopefully he comes back. I'm going to be praying for the kid that he comes back, because the ramifications of him not being back in a Rockets jersey, healthy and ready to roll, it reverberates throughout the franchise. I mean, if he is not ready to roll next year at the soonest, and he's not back to form, even if he just comes back the same player, it sets this rebuild back like almost 2 or 3 years. because that's how far away the next set of rookies and sophomores and Jalen Greens are from actually being the level of impact that he is. And so it's very vital that he comes back for us. It's very vital. It's vital to team construction and things like that. But you know what I mean? Like I said, for this stretch of season, let's just finish strong. You know, there's a window there for us to make the play-in. I doubt we make it, but you know what I mean? I like the pressure of the guys knowing that every single game counts towards. So our playoffs started already. We're in the playoffs right now. Every game has that pressure and that momentum for us. And what really sucks, we won't get to see a round two or three versus Wemby and Shangoon. But I doubt Victor was going to play anyway because they're on the second night of a back-to-back. But, man, you know what I mean? It's the life of Rockets fans, pain after pain, but we're going to make it through together. Appreciate y'all. If you're new to the channel, hit the subscribe button. If you like this video, hit the like button. Prayers up for Alperen Şengün. Y'all keep rocking with the Chop Shop. We're going to keep dropping that.